It's good to see everyone out this morning. As before, we're kind of studying the book of Hebrews in our morning class and just kind of following that theme, bringing some special sermons out of the book of Hebrews that should help us along our way and kind of expand on those lessons. This morning, we're going to be looking at Hebrews 11th chapter, the first four verses. We spoke about the triumphs of faith. Now, faith honors God, and God honors faith. A story from the life of missionaries, Robert and Mary Moffat, illustrate this truth. For 10 years, a couple labored faithfully in Bechuanaland, now called Botswana in Africa, without one ray of encouragement or hope to brighten their way. They could not report a single convert, had they been there 10 years. Finally, the directors of their mission board began to question the wisdom of continuing the work. The thought of leaving their posts, however, brought great grief to this devoted couple, for they felt sure that God was in their labors and that they would see people turn to Christ in due season. They stayed, and for a year or two longer, darkness reigned. But one day, a friend in England sent word to the Moffats that she wanted to mail them a gift and ask what they would like. Trusting that in time the Lord would bless their work, Mrs. Moffat replied, "Send us a communion set. I am sure it will soon be needed." God honored the dear woman's faith. The Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of the villagers, and soon a little group of 6 converts united to form the first Christian church in that land. The communion set from England was delayed in the mail, but on the very day before the first commemoration for the Lord's Supper, the set arrived. You know, faith is a subject of the Bible that is both essential to our salvation and at the same time a bit elusive and hard to grasp. It's kind of a concept that might, for our first Christian steps, or even for older Christians, they might have a lot of trouble getting their hand around that. But grasp it we must. We must endeavor to seek our faith out by definition and action. In other words, we try to define its meaning and try to view its actions in our lives. In Hebrews 1 through 4, we can learn 3 things about faith. There is faith in the unseen, faith in the seen, and faith in our actions. Now, in the first 2 verses, we talk about faith in the unseen. In chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For is it the men of old gained approval." If we have doubts about our salvation, then we can never help others find Christ and grow. And we can never grow ourselves. Faith helps us to hold on to courage, which is essential to stay in His house. Just a short way in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 6. "But Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and boast of a hope firm until the end." That was Christ's faith. Faith helps us to hold on to the end. You know, a man was mountain climbing, and he fell off a cliff, but he managed to grab a tree limb on the way down. In that, while he was hanging there, the following conversation took place. "Is anyone up there?" he cried out. "I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me?" "Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe, but I can't hang on much longer." "That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch." A moment of pause. Then the man said, "Is anyone else up there?" How strong is our faith? What do we really believe about Christ? Faith in the invisible. What we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Those are the things we should have faith in. And faith is the hope of things unseen. Faith helps us to lay up treasure there. 1 Timothy 6:19, or compare Luke 12:33, or Matthew 6:21. We are putting up treasures in heaven. Some people are putting up treasures on this earth. I see the billboards out there as I drive around, and it's "Meet Donald Trump in person. For $99, you can meet you know, the wealth creator that is celebrated all around. But that's temporary. That's on this earth. That's not going to last. That is not who we should place our faith in. It's these barons of industry, finance, of hedge funds and mutual funds and all that. That will not suffice for us. That can go away tomorrow. The stock market can crash. Pensions can be dissolved in bankruptcy, and all kind of bad things can happen to the treasures we lay up on this earth. But nothing can happen to those treasures we lay up in heaven. And it's only by faith that we can trust in those things. You know, faith makes us lonely for that place in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:7-9, and other places, Paul talks about longing for that place that he wanted to go to. But there was so much he needed to do on this earth to try to save as many people as he could before his time came. Faith is that hope in the unseen. Faith is that trust that God is going to get us through these things. Faith is why there are always more communion cups in the tray than there is members. Why there's always enough communion bread for more. Because we pray to God and we trust God that He's going to give us the increase if we're faithful to Him and keeping on, so to speak. That's what faith is, trusting that God will take care of us no matter what. Men are commended for their faith in the second verse, as we read. We gain access to God, Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith. God doesn't want to hear from a person who has no faith that it's going to come out. That person's making appeal for this and that and everything else. God wants to hear from the faithful that they have faith in Him and that they trust Him and that they're going to follow Him. Faith has sustained mankind. If you look at the history of Israel, what do you see? You see a bunch of people with a lot of sin in their lives, with a lot of failings. Look, David, as much as he celebrated all the bad things he did, but what he never lost was his faith in God and his trust in God, as we read the Psalms. No matter how bad it got, no matter how they tried to chase him down and kill him and destroy him and prevent him from being king of the kingdom of Israel, he had faith. Noah was saved because he had faith in the one true God. They told him, it never rained before. You know, that's not going to happen. And people today look around and say, well, God hadn't appeared here. He hadn't talked to us. We have nothing to worry about. This is how it happens. Someone says something bad or sins or something like that, and they immediately expect for something bad to happen. Nothing bad happens. They don't get struck by lightning. They don't get hit by a bus crossing the street. I get away with it again. And they do the bad thing again. God must not be watching. God doesn't mind. They have no faith in both God's reward and God's judgment. And they think because God does not take immediate action that they're going to be okay, that they're going to be saved. You know, the Bible tells us that God is not slack in His promises, but is long-suffering that all may be saved. We know all won't be saved, but God's desire, and He lingers with us and just tries to get us to understand and have faith in Him and love Him. The faith of Abraham kept Judah alive despite the evil of the people. The faith of Moses caused God to tarry with the Israelites. Remember, they grumbled. Moses goes to the mountain, talks to God. What do? They create a bull. They worship the bull. Moses' faith kept those people from being destroyed by God. Faith of the faithful few in the wilderness allowed for their entrance in the promised land. And faith of the few caused them to come back to their land after being carried away. So is faith only in the unseen? Does it manifest itself in the physical world? Can we see faith in action? Can we see faith rewarded in our life? That's the thing to ask. There's an elderly lady who lived next to an atheist. The lady was well known for her faith, and for her boldness about talking about God to others. She would stand on her front porch and shout, "Praise the Lord for this day." And the atheist next door would say, "There ain't no Lord," back to her. Hard times set in for the old lady, and she prayed to God to send her some assistance. She stood on her porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord. God, I need some food. I'm having a hard time. Please, God, send me some groceries." The next morning, the lady went out on her porch and noted a large bag of groceries and shouted, "Praise the Lord." The neighbor jumped out from behind the bush and said, "Aha! I told you there was no Lord. I bought those groceries for you." Well, she kind of, you know, stumbled back and didn't know what to say, and then all of a sudden her eyes got lightened up again, and she said, "Praise the Lord, He not only sent me groceries, but He made the devil pay for them." You know, you weren't going to turn her faith any kind of way but towards the Lord. And she got her groceries, and it may have come from the atheist, but who calls the atheist to do that? She was not going to turn her back on God. She was going to have faith, and she was rewarded for her faith. Faith in the scene. God's portrait to man is a whole creation. Everything we see out there, everything that evolution and scientists try to destroy and try to tell us, it's just all random chance and natural selection and survival of the fittest, and everything they try to tell us is all hypothesis. They don't have the first shred of proof to prove that was not created by at least someone intelligent. And it's within every man and every culture and everything that they seek a higher power, that they seek something greater than themselves. After all, even science is left with the fact that matter is not eternal. So what did it come from? They think it's something invisible. They come up with all kind of concoctions. But it all leads back to creation was sparked from nothing. So where does our faith lead us? It leads us to action. A tightrope walker who was very famous in Paris wanted to come to the United States. He did incredible aerial feats. He would do tightrope walks. He'd walk across buildings. He'd be blindfolded and just walk across that. And he would go across blindfolded. He'd even carry a wheelbarrow, push a wheelbarrow on that little rope across those buildings. And a man in America wanted to see these feats. He didn't really believe it, but he wanted to see them. So for a very substantial sum of money, including this tightrope walker's fees, he was going to have him walk over the Niagara Falls and walk across that. He said, "Sir, although I've never been to America and seen the falls," he said, "I'd love to come and do that." Well, after a lot of promotion, they set up the whole thing, and they had tightrope started on the Canadian side and went across to the American side. The drum rolls and bands and everyone's out there to see this feat, or see him fall, whichever may be the case. So he was going over the treacherous part of the falls, the bad part of the falls, and blindfolded. And he made it across easily, and the crowd went wild. They were just celebrating that. And then he goes back again, and he does it with the wheelbarrow, and does it back and forth. And he says, "Now do you believe I can do it?" to the promoter. And the promoter says, "Well, of course, I did. I just seen you do it. I have to believe you can do it." "No, no, no," said the tightrope walker. "Do you believe I can do it?" Guy says, "Yeah, I mean, you just did it. What you want me to say?" He says, "Good. You get in the wheelbarrow this time." You know, the word believe in Greek means to live by. And to live by means that affects your actions, that affects what you do each and every day. And that's a nice story. It's kind of comical. But how often do we trust Christ, or say we believe in Christ, rather, and not get in the wheelbarrow? How many times do we not get where we need to be? Faith offers the best in us. They were commended as righteous when God spoke well of His offerings. Let's read verse 3 and 4 of our lesson scripture. "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which were visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about the gifts, and through faith, though he's dead, he still speaks. That's just a little sidebar on our lesson here. First of all, the Bible tells us, you know, everyone talks about the Bible, whether religious people thought the world was flat and that the sun went around the earth and all this kind of stuff. The Bible here tells us what Einstein and Stephen Hawking and all those other scientists figured out. They can only go back so far, and they say that everything in this whole universe was the size of something less than an atom. I think in the beginning there was absolutely nothing as far as their calculations go. But the Bible tells us that 2,000 years ago, what they've just figured out in the last century. But that's kind of a sidebar. That should help your faith anyway. The rest of the 11th chapter recounts the many stories of the Bible and of the faithful because their faith acted upon that faith. It's one thing to say you believe, but it's one thing to live your life, as the Greek word says, to live by what you believe. James 2:14 through 26 tells us that faith causes people to act upon their faith. When bad things come upon us, our faith doesn't fall, but we get strengthened in faith. Our faith causes us to cut the grass and clean the building. And those things don't go unnoticed, and I'm thankful for those people who do that. You know, faith causes someone to come and put an air freshener behind that back pew. Faith causes someone to put up a sign. Faith causes someone to care about the building and the rain that comes through. Faith causes us to care about our neighbor and to invite our neighbors and to talk to people and to do all those things. Faith causes us to tithe in the church. Faith causes us to be fruitful in all things. Now, we all don't have the same talents and we all can't do the same thing, but faith just causes us to try. Faith causes us, you know, to want to learn. To want to learn more about God, to do more for God, to do those things and to wish and hope and to pray to God, to learn from God, that we can do more things and stuff like that. Faith should surround our lives. Faith should beam out from us. People should know when they see us that that's a person of faith. And no matter how bad things get, that person has faith in God. You know, faith, as our lesson today has shown us, is a vital part of our life in Christ, just as it was a vital part in the lives of the faithful who preceded us. Without faith, Noah would not have been saved. Without faith, Lot and them wouldn't have been let out. Without faith, we wouldn't have had the Jewish nation through Abraham. We have seen that we must have faith in the unseen. We got to have faith in what's seen, that is the answer to our faith, and that action is a result of our faith in our lives. After all, we today are here because of the faith of those gone by before us. People who built this building and the buildings before and the buildings that were destroyed by fire and tornado or whatever happened, by the faith of those before us. If we lose our faith, we lose the generations that come after us. They say we're just one generation away from losing the church, and that's always how it is. And we must prayerfully and through our faith lead others to Him and show others how it goes. And I know that you may think that it's an overwhelming thing. You may think, you know, look at the whole of the world and all the lost people and everything like that and wonder, what can I do? What possibly could one little person do? I'll leave you with this morning. I recently read about an old man who was walking on the beach at dawn, who noticed a young man ahead of him picking up starfish and just flinging them back into the sea. Catching up with the young man, he asked what he was doing. The answer was that the stranded starfish would die if the morning sun caught them and dried them out. The old man said, "But the beach goes on for miles and miles, and there are millions of starfish. How can your efforts make any kind of difference?" The young man looked at the starfish in his hand, and he threw it into the safety of the ocean. He said, "It makes a difference to that one," he said. We can make a difference in small ways. You know, pop psychology, you know, the baby steps that was so popular several years ago. Things we do in life If we grow our faith, grow our knowledge in God, they can start with baby steps. They can start and grow, and they can go on from there. But each and every one of us can make some small difference in what we know, how we know, and who we see. And